back to the Hog Slobber Podcast after a week's delay. Of course, this is Doc Harper, and as always with me, the editor of ArkansasSports360.com, Chris Bond. Chris, we're back in the win column.
Yeah.
Things are good. The sun is shining.
Happy days are here again.
We should take a pool on what song Liz Honey is going to make a YouTube video out of this week.
I don't know, but I can't wait to see it. If anybody deserves to celebrate, it's Liz Honey.
I think they should send her the game ball.
It's a great idea.
Or Jeff Long could send her just a little signed note at the very least. Maybe a framed picture.
Maybe the team could do like some sort of tribute video to her. You know, you've got all these guys on the team who are musicians and can sing. So, little Brand Mitchell putting down the bass line. You could have Chris Smith playing the keyboard.
Oh, maybe they could do a thing like at a halftime of a basketball game or something. A football player comes out and does a duet with her. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would be outstanding. I hope the marketing folks at the U of A are listening to this.
It'd be better than Star Wars guys, right?
Oh man, don't get me in trouble with those fellas. don't get me in trouble there.
All right, well, you were down in Auburn. I was here at home in Arkansas. So what was it like? Could you just feel, did the team feel like there was a giant weight lifted off their shoulders? Or, how was the general reaction?
Yeah, there was a lot of celebration. And, one of the things, they travel with the bell. That's kind of been their motto. Going back to the former head coach. And so anytime they had a performance in the weight room in summer, and then whenever they would win a big game on the road, they would ring a bell. And so after the game, as they're walking in the locker room, there was a lot of ringing of the bell, a lot of shouting and hollering, a lot of chanting. The players actually stopped before they went into their locker room after the game in front of the section where the Arkansas fans were and the band and sang the fight song. And it was a much, much better atmosphere than what we had seen in the, in the previous few weeks.
That's awesome. I wish I'd been able to go, but unfortunately some things kept me here. But I was really happy for him. I watched the whole game, and it was, at times it was a really great looking game. At times it was kind of ugly. Second and third quarter weren't great, but the first and fourth quarters were pretty solid, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, they played pretty well through the whole game. This was a tough report card for me to put together, because I do a report card every Sunday after the game, and you look at it and they won, and you're optimistic and I guess happy about that, and you want to grade them high because of that. But then you have to remind yourself, like, Auburn's a really bad team. then there were some pretty significant errors that Arkansas made, fumbles on returns and carries. Some defensive breakdowns here and there, the kind of stuff that cost them against other teams. So it was kind of hard to come up with a report card on it, and I probably graded them a little low. But it's certainly a much better feeling, this week. You look at the schedule, and it sets up, and I got made fun of for saying this last week, but going into Auburn, but the schedule legitimately sets up where they could, if you're being as optimistic as possible, they could be 5-4 going into the Carolina game.
Right.
And so
Shreveport dreams.
Yeah, man.
Have you booked your ticket to Shreveport or Memphis or Birmingham?
I told, like in the report card, I said, postseason options are slim, but just in case, keep an eye on what's happening in Shreveport and Memphis, because it could happen.
Yeah, I won't. They're going to have to upset somebody. Right. But the line for the Kentucky game this week has already come out. Their Razorbacks are a 16-point favorite, which I was kind of surprised about. I thought that was higher than it would be, but I do think Arkansas is a much better team than Kentucky. But then after that, they get a bye week before Ole Miss comes to Little Rock and then Tulsa comes to Fayetteville. And they're all three winnable games. And if you can upset South Carolina, or which after last night that doesn't seem very likely, but South Carolina has also played much worse in a few of their games this season than they did last night. And then you have Mississippi yep. State, and you get LSU and Fayetteville, where no one really, I think, is really sure how good LSU actually is right now. But it is possible. It's definitely possible.
Yeah, I mean, at least we're talking about the possibility of it. Because had lost yesterday, I mean, we would definitely have to completely write off their season.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you can take a little bit of an optimistic tone. There's been so little good news to come out of these games that, you know, it's nice to it's to dream big. It's nice to have dreams of Shreveport or Birmingham.
Well, talking about the game specifically yesterday, there were a few changes that were really noticeable right off the bat. We had Paul Petrino in the press box instead of on the sideline. Do you think that, of course, the joke is that, you know, in the press box, it's a lot easier for him to talk to Bobby and nobody know about it.
Right.
but do you think that legitimately maybe makes it easier for him to see things on the field and make play calls and from having the angle up above so he can see the field more clearly than he can when he's down low?
Yeah, I think it makes a huge difference. Paul is an analytical guy. He's a guy that lives in the room. And the film that you watch a lot of times is from that kind of bird's eye press box view.
Mm-hmm.
And so was seeing a completely different game at field level. And essentially what was happening was he had coaches in the box that were telling him coverages and fronts.
Mm-hmm.
He was processing that information based on what they saw and making play calls. And so putting him in the box, he was able to see it for himself and make the play calls. And I think that had a tremendous impact on what he was able to call. A lot of people have talked about how Tyler ran more, and not just carrying the football, but he moved around more. There were more play action calls,
mm-hmm.
naked bootleg calls. And in talking with Paul and Tyler, that was a direct result of some things that Paul saw from the box that he would not have otherwise seen, if he had been on the field. So I think all in all, it was a pretty successful, move for Paul and for the offense.
Mm-hmm. And you have to imagine he'll be up in the press box now the rest of the year, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think it worked well. Like I said, he got to see some things he wouldn't have. He said he was really down on himself.
I'm sure.
He's watching that film, and here's one play he wishes he had called different, and another, and finally it just dawned on him, like, I wasn't seeing this from where I was. Plus, they needed to shake anything up. They just needed something different, and it worked out really, really, really well for him.
Before this season, when he was at Illinois and his previous stops at Arkansas and everywhere else with Bobby, was he always in the press box, or was he on the field?
He had done both. I couldn't get a real good sense of, I guess, what his preference was. I think his preference has always been to be in the box. But with him being the quarterback's coach, I think he felt like he needed to be at the sideline with Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe didn't work out as well as what they had hoped. He liked it, and Paul mentioned this as well. being in the box kind of kept Paul from getting caught up in the emotions of the moment and just let him totally be analytical. And Tyler said it was nice, too, because with Paul up in the box, he would just go, and when the defense was on the field, Tyler would go and put the headset on and talk to Paul, and they'd talk through things instead of being distracted by what was going on the field. So I think both of them seem to prefer that way, and if it continues, you know, like this, then maybe the offense will look a little better.
Okay, and the other thing that was really obvious was the lack of Nile Davis on the field. And Dennis Johnson, he had a solid game, but not spectacular. Is this just going to be the way it is now? For lack of a better way of saying it, Nile hasn't been as effective as everybody hoped he'd be. That's obviously not all his fault. There's been some offensive line issues and everything else that goes along with that, but... And if it is just the way it's going to be, you know, everybody's been thinking that after last year he was going to go to the NFL, but he got hurt. And then this year everybody thinks he's going to go to the NFL, but he's just not being as productive as everybody thought he would be. You know, at what point do people start seriously wondering if he's going to be back next year? Because his draft stock might be slopping.
Yeah, I mean, I know people have already kind of started bringing that up in conversation. I know Nile really wanted to be his last year in college. So I don't know. I mean, he may have a decision to make when the year is over. You know, Dennis has run the football well. I mean, his 76 yards weren't just a ton of yards.
Right.
He had two touchdowns, and just the threat of him being able to pop a big run, I think, helped loosen up that Auburn defense and made a few things possible for the offense that wouldn't have been there if Dennis wasn't running the way he was. I mean, Tyler didn't even throw a touchdown, which is only the second in, I think, 18 career starts for him that he hasn't thrown a touchdown. So nothing...
Yeah, I mean, the best pass of the day was actually Brandon Mitchell's pass.
That was a spectacular play, was the 26-yard touchdown to Javonte Herndon. But for the most part, the offense was just really steady and mistake-free, and that's essentially more or less what Dennis was yesterday. Just really steady running the football and, you know, gave him just enough.
Another fun thing I know a lot of fans were thoroughly enjoying was the number of sacks the defense was getting. In the first half, Kyle Frazier just kept going down, and then Gene Chizik had the great idea when he's under heavy fire from getting sacked, to replace his mobile quarterback with a less mobile quarterback.
Right.
And he kept going down too, oddly enough. And so, what was that? Is it just Auburn just has a really horrible offensive line? Is it just that but none of the other teams Auburn has played this year have had that much success sacking the quarterback. Even LSU, I think, only had 3 or 4 sacks. So, I say only, like, that's not a lot. But Arkansas had, eight? What was the final count? 8 sacks?
At 8. They came into the game with 7. They had 8 in the game, which is just remarkable. Auburn's defense is just so bad. I think a lot of that's the offensive line. Because the thing is, Arkansas was not dialing up a lot of, like, really exotic blitzes and pressures. It was four-man pressure a lot of times. They were just bringing it with line. You know, I think you may have had a linebacker sack at one point, but for the most part, it was just those 4 defensive linemen.
Right.
Being aggressive, getting through.
I saw Trey Flowers a lot back there.
Yeah, Trey, you know, good for him. He had a big game. I don't know if you saw this, but he talked after the game that he was really annoyed that Auburn had not recruited him. Mm-hmm. And so he...
Because he's from Huntsville, Alabama.
3 hours away, and Auburn didn't recruit him, and so, you know, he said that he wanted to make him pay. That probably helps. He was matched up with a, you know, first starter on at offensive tackle Auburn had, and he just abused that poor kid throughout the day. But had a great game, and believe it or not, the secondary, Will Hines and Davion McKinney, were able to play coverage. That helped give Arkansas time to get to the quarterbacks as well.
Yeah, and just one aspect of playing freshmen, that it's always really frustrating in the early going. But a lot of times as the year goes on, if they can keep their heads on straight and not get bogged down by bad plays, a lot of the time they drastically improve by the end of the year. And so you got to be hoping, if you're a Razorbacks fan, that that is exactly what happens, you know, by the time November rolls around. And yesterday was definitely encouraging, if that's the way you're looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, both of those freshman corners played well. And then let's not forget, that a discredit to Will Hines. That guy had a fantastic game. Had an interception and a forced fumble or fumble recovery. He was all over the place. And then how about Otha Peters filling in for Alonzo Highsmith, who goes down in the first half with what we think is probably an ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it did not sound good. And talking with John L. yesterday or Saturday, immediately after the game, Highsmith may be out, but Peters came in and I thought performed really well. And so you're starting to see these young players who are making some, making some progress out there. It's kind of on the job training, but they're doing well.
It was just great to see. You just felt good for them because you know that, you know, there were. You said you reported after the A&M game last week that you could start to see some cracks going on. The attitude wasn't good, and people were sniping at each other a little bit. And it just couldn't have come at a better time. And you hope that heading into this three game homestand that they can get it all together, and or at least enough to be able to pull out some wins and make at least November at least interesting.
Yeah, I mean it's set up to where they could actually have something to play for, you know, over the final few weeks of the season. It'll be really difficult, you know, with the way the schedule sets up. But they have a stretch here where they can get well. And it helps having Kentucky come to town. You know, God forbid the absolute worst thing in the world happens next week. And Kentucky here with a win. But if Arkansas does what it should do and beats Kentucky, then you get the bye week to get healthy mentally and physically, and then you have, you know, a chance with what is it, Ole Miss and then Tulsa. So,
well, let's start talking about the Kentucky game a little bit. I'm feeling pretty optimistic about it personally. I mean, after the first five or six games of the season, it's you can't circle anything as a win after seeing what we've seen, but I'm feeling pretty good about this Kentucky game. Kentucky has, they looked okay the first few weeks of the season, but they've gone pretty solidly downhill. Their quarterback, who started the year, Maxwell Smith, has been injured. He didn't play this past weekend against Mississippi State. Mississippi State won up in Lexington pretty easily. Of course, Kentucky got shut out at Florida. They lost to Western Kentucky, and it seems like it's set up perfectly for Arkansas to be able to capitalize on this momentum a little bit.
Kentucky could legitimately be as bad as Auburn was yesterday or Saturday, as bad as Arkansas has been. I mean, Kentucky could legitimately be the worst team in the SEC. Although Missouri is currently
Yeah, Missouri's not exactly enjoying their little honeymoon season.
Oh, but Kentucky has struggled. They've been they've had a rough year. Not a lot seems to be going well for them. So I think this is a game where Arkansas could really come out and play well. Although historically they have not done well against Kentucky, oddly enough.
That's true. I was at both the 07 and 08 games, which Arkansas lost both. And it honestly, I don't know if you thought too much about this. I'm kind of surprised I haven't seen it more often. This season is shaping up incredibly similarly to that 2008 season, where, you know, Arkansas won their opening game against the FCS school, an all-too-tight game against Louisiana Monroe. They get blown out three straight times and before going down to Auburn and pulling out an upset victory. And then they follow that up with a game against Kentucky. They still actually have a home game against Tulsa on their schedule. It's actually pretty kind of eerie at this point, I think.
Well, hopefully they avoid what they did against Kentucky that year.
Right. I'll never forget being at that game. I was in the stands in the Arkansas section, and there was... Everybody thought the game was over. All the fans were leaving. The Razorback fans who stuck around, they were just having a good time, just relaxed and cheering. And then when DeAnthony Curtis fumbled that ball, and at that point it was still 20-7. So that's not like that completely gave the game away. But the defense just blew a few big plays right after that, and that was that. But yeah, hopefully. This Razorback team won't succumb to that.
I'm looking here at the SEC, the updated SEC stats, and not to bore people with too many numbers, but, you know, scoring offense, Kentucky is down 13th in the league with 20.5 points a game. Their defense, they're giving up over 30 points a game, which is next to last in the league also. You know, total offense, they're near the bottom of the league. So they're in the bottom third in total defense. So, I mean, this is a Kentucky team that really has not done a whole lot well this year. Now, Arkansas with them in a lot of statistical categories, but with the momentum that maybe Arkansas built a little bit, you'd like to think that, you know, maybe... and with this being at home, you'd like to think that this may is enough to get them back on track.
Yes, exactly. And then how many of the injuries do you think after the game, do you think, since Arkansas has a bye week immediately after that, how beneficial do you think that bye week will be?
It'll be big because I think you could, you know, if it's, we don't really have specific timetable for Tevin Mitchell, but with each week that passes, he does a bit more. He's a little more involved in practice. You know, he's gone from not being here to just watching to now doing conditioning. You know, no non-contact drills. So, you know, if he doesn't play this week, you'd like to think maybe that bye week would be one final chance for him to get healthy. You know, maybe Tank Wright. Some rest and an MRI, you can get him back on the defensive line. You know, we talked about Dennis Johnson earlier. We forget he's out there with a broken hand. So yards, you know, on 14 carries or whatever, all of a sudden becomes a little more remarkable. You know, that he can still play with it, but maybe the bottom him get a little more healthy. And I know there are others, Kalon Kelly-Brew, you know, with his concussion, corners play, you know, maybe you don't have to rely on him as much, but yeah, I think that bye week will be, I think Arkansas doesn't come out of the Kentucky game sort of injuries, you know, maybe get Eric Bennett back to full strength. So I like the bye week is for sure for this team.
Well, there's one other thing going on this week that if you're in Northwest Arkansas or if you're coming up for the Kentucky game, Friday night is prime time at the Palace. We're officially kicking off basketball season, right?
Yeah.
So, last year I wasn't too impressed with the Palace show, but I'm hoping that it's going to be a little bit better this year. The team, I think, is definitely worth being excited about and coming to see a lot of these players that we've heard a little bit about, like Cody Clark. BJ Young, of course, is going to be back, and as well as the whole cast of players that we've seen for the last couple of years. Do you have any idea what they plan on doing for their show on Friday night?
There's probably going to be a dunk contest again. I know that there's a hope from a couple former players that maybe they could get a three-point shooting contest going. I'm not sure all the details on that, but yeah, there'll be some games. There's actually, this roster is like double the size of what they had last year.
Right.
I think you'll actually see a little more basketball and a little more full court from them. They really weren't able to do that last year. So I think it should be a better, it'll just be a better overall product on the floor. Mm-hmm. I think people should look forward to this, and and talking with different people, it sounds like this will be a team that's going to be really entertaining to watch this year.
I'm looking forward to this season. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm glad they're doing it. They're pushing it. It was at 7 o'clock last year, so they pushed it back this year to 9 o'clock, I think. So I'm kind of just picturing that as getting back closer to midnight status. Yeah, I know it's not relevant at all to the status of the program, but I just like to imagine that they're 2 hours closer to where they want to be. Yeah, that's just my little thought on that.
No, I'm with you. I'm actually right there with you. I think I was kind of disappointed last year. It was just indicative of where the program is,
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with you. I think this is, although it's probably silly to a lot of people, the fact that, it's at 9 o'clock at night, it's getting a little closer to midnight. I like it. And I think it's just, similar to how Arkansas is getting a little close to being the program we all want it to be again.
Yeah. You've got to hope the students will come out for this thing. That's probably one of the reasons they wanted it at 9 o'clock at night. And I also think last year having a 7 o'clock kickoff, it conflicted with a lot of like high school football games that are going on in the area.
Yep.
So hopefully this will curb that at least a little bit, and they can get more people in the arena.
Yeah, the crowd wasn't great last year. I remember, but yeah, they got a chance to. I think they have a chance to attract more people because of the time and again, just the quality of the product, I think, is going to be a little better. I don't know for sure, if they wind up winning, or going to the – they're not for a national championship this year. I don't want people to get their hopes up that high, but I do think the talent level is continuing to improve. And again, I think it's going to be a fun team to watch.
I do too. If people are saying that BJ Young is a third team All-American, then, that alone should be enough for people to get out. And you'd also like to think that that would be enough just to have put Arkansas at least on the cusp of being a tournament team. And hopefully if the season develops and, hopefully you don't have the same kind of injury problems that you had last year, that hopefully that can work out.
They're picked to finish fifth, I think, by Sporting News and the SEC, which should get them into the NCAA tournament. Without knowing everything about everybody else in the league, there's a chance that maybe they could finish a little bit higher than that. So, definitely a team that can compete for a spot in the tournament, which would be really nice to see them get back to. It's been way 7-0-8 was their last trip to the couldn't even get into like a CBI or thing along the way. So This will be good.
All right, and we didn't get to have the podcast last week, but that was a trip to College Station. What'd you think of College Station?
I was impressed with the crowd. They stayed through just about every bit of the 58-10 win, and it poured down rain, and the fans sat through the rain. I was very impressed with that. It's odd. It's weird what they do, but it's cool and it's unique to College Station, and it's one of those things that makes college football so great. So the only thing is their stadium smells of bat poop.
I heard it smelled bad. I saw some reports from people that said it smelled bad.
And,
did you kind of freak out a little bit when the press box moved?
I kind of had enough of a warning to know that it was going to happen. They even include a note in the press packet they give before the game that says, hey, the press box could move. So I was warned, adequately warned, and it didn't sway enough that it caused me any concern. But it was neat to experience it in person and get to see how their fans get.
So now that you've been to a game at College Station, and of course you've been to the games in Arlington in previous years, now what do you think about the A&M or the I'm sorry the College Station versus Jerry Dome?
I don't know. I mean, there's arguments to be made for both. I trip to Arlington and to Dallas every year, so I like the idea of that kind of becoming a tradition for Arkansas and A&M. But college football is about the college campuses. And so I liked getting to experience College Station. And I'm sure once they renovate that stadium and get the bats out of there. Seriously, like they...
I know, I saw pictures, yeah.
Sign up that warn people of the bats that live in... It's disgusting.
Can you imagine if War Memorial Stadium had bats?
No, I can't.
There'd be like a 100-page thread on Hogville about it.
But bats aside and bat poop smell aside, it was neat to see it on the college campus, and I had some people that were there, that I knew that had traveled to the game, and we were debating about whether to go to Yale practice on Friday night in College Station, and one of them said, well, we've already seen it. We watched them do it at Cowboy Stadium, the night before. I said, no, it's not the same as getting to experience it and see it on campus. So from that aspect, I like Arkansas and A&M being on college campuses just because it's doing it in Jerry World.
I'm typically a fan of the traditional home environments, too.
Yeah.
I've never actually went to a game in Arlington at Jerry Dome, but it doesn't have the same kind of appeal for me that going to a game on a campus does.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I know I'm in the minority. I know a lot of Razorback fans just like the trip to Dallas, and that's just kind of a staple of the Razorback fan base, and it has been for forever, and it probably time. So, but that's just how I feel about it. And maybe one of these days we'll get some giant recruiting class from Dallas and all the Dallas fans can say, I told you so. And that'll be that.
One day, Doc. One day, maybe. Hopefully.
Alright. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, man. I think we're good.
What are you watching on TV tonight?
I got a lot of stuff to catch up on. Chopped from last week.
What was that?
Chopped.
Oh, okay.
Food Network. I think it's on the Food Network. Yeah, it's on the Food Network. Man, I don't know. I'm trying to. I'm so far behind. I still got to catch up on stuff from last week that I didn't get a chance to watch. So what about you? What do you got? What do you got tonight?
During the fall, Sunday night is really busy for me. I got my cable shows all come on. I've got The Boardwalk Empire and Dexter and Homeland, and I'll usually end up having to save one of those for later in the week. So it's kind of a juggling act trying to get my DVR all straight and trying to figure out what records when and all that.
I'm with you. Sunday is actually not very busy for us now, TV-wise, now that Breaking Bad is off. But one thing I'm going to watch tonight, hopefully, is the 30 for 30, Broke.
Yes, that's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch it yet, so I'm hoping to carve out some time to watch that tonight. Maybe have a bowl of chili and some and watch Broke.
Nice. I made chili Friday night. I think you'll like Broke, especially for the parent company at Arkansas Business. If you can, might be able to find some sort of business angle to think about that from. But yeah, it was really good. It was really well done. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that 30 series has been fantastic.
All right, Chris. Well, as always, it was a pleasure, a lot of fun, and yep. Hopefully we'll be able to do this again next week. All right, so once again, if you're out there and you haven't subscribed to the podcast, you can do that on the Arkansas Expats iTunes account, and we will post this on probably Tuesday. But if you have any questions or comments or topics you'd like for Chris and me to talk about, feel free to tweet us or send us an email.